The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, Julian Pizzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Bam, we're doing that thing that we do almost never now, but we're giving you a classic episode as a little bit of a repeat this week. But
if you, repeat.
As a repeat.
As a repeat.
But it's an oldie and a goodie. Tell them what we're doing.
So this originally aired October 19th, 2021.
Wow.
Which I think is also, I think we need to start saying when they originally aired. Because people are like, don't you know the blah? I'm like, girl, it was years ago.
That's true.
It was a lifetime ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's Malice at the Palace. It's one of those 30 for 30 docs.
We would have been doing this
or
over
untold.
The phone.
Like, I think we would untold. Have.
You were probably at home when we recorded this.
Yeah.
Like, this
teaching
was
you all about Reggie Miller and his amazing sister Cheryl.
Yeah.
Cheryl.
But this was the quarantine times. So
yeah.
We probably weren't in person. But we loved this documentary. I always love it when we do a sports because I have no idea what's going on. You're trying to explain it to me. But like, this episode is wild.
It's wild.
It is wild, wild, wild.
It's incredibly well done.
Yeah.
We get it all from the players themselves. Too.
Yeah.
And then like we dive into it, it's like, wow, that was really shitty.
Yeah.
But all of the people are such good storytellers who are in it.
Yeah. Still, when we meet people on the street, they will talk to us about Malice at the Palace.
There's one moment I love. I'll tell you about it at the end. I don't want to ruin
okay.
it for you. I love it so much. To this day, I quote it and mention it and it's in my ears, but I'll tell you at the end.
All right. Enjoy this episode and we'll give you a quick goodbye on the way out. All right, girl, can I say what we're talking about today?
I mean, please.
We're talking about Malice at the Palace. You guys, it's from the Untold series on Netflix, and I gotta tell you a couple things. Number one, Netflix reached out to us and was like, I know you guys don't like the sports, but I think you might like this. And we're like, no. And then they're like, no, that queen's really gonna be into this one.
Yeah.
And so we're like, all right, we'll watch it, and now I'm obsessed.
And we're doing a couple more.
Yes.
But we're gonna split them up, because sports is sports.
Are we doing the Caitlyn Jenner one?
No.
I want to.
Is it true crimey?
No. Can we do it on the Patreon as a one-off?
I guess.
Okay.
Not a fan.
Who's a fan?
Not a
no
fan.
No one's a fan. I just want to talk about it.
All right,
you
fine.
Look really distressed about the idea of covering Caitlyn Jenner.
I just, why? But if you want to do it, you know what? I'll do anything for you. But we said it now, so fuck.
Totally.
I got to do it.
That night had a lasting effect. It ignited everything.
I'm never talking about this shit again. Can you get that on camera?
A fight broke out between the Pacer team and the fans in the stand.
It was like a powder keg.
From the corner of my eye, I see it coming. Some people have control. I don't.
Our test is in the stands!
They want to blame us.
These guys are thugs.
Fans have such an emotional investment. There is a darkness there.
NBA was worried about their perception.
It cost all of us everything.
The Palace had a VHS tape for each and every camera.
I want the story out there. Go frame by frame.
If you actually knew what happened, you wouldn't even be asking questions.
Girl, look, we learn on screen text on November 19th, 2004, there was an incident between players and fans at an NBA game. I feel like they're like, you know what? That Patrick Hines might watch this. Explain it to him like he's in kindergarten.
And our editor, Matt, who we love,
yeah.
watched this happen live.
He did?
Yes. But the thing about that is more on screen text says the raw footage was not made available to the public until now.
You guys, it is fucking bananas.
This whole thing is like, here's what actually happened.
Yeah.
So we open with what Matt, our our editor, yeah. and so many people saw, especially because it was played on like ESPN every 10 seconds.
And the thing is, it's like, it's a mix between like us like seeing it and then also the players who were a part of it watching it like on laptops, and every one of them like slams their computer shut. They're like, I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah, one of them, Steven Jackson, is like,
it's the last fucking time you can ask me about this shit.
Are you getting this? I am never talking about this again. This is the last time.
We get more of that outburst later.
Oh, it's the best.
So
like this, we get like this opening montage of like what the public saw, the press being horrible, like super racist, calling them thugs, and all the players being like, fuck this shit. Why did I sign the release forms to be here?
I gotta tell you guys, the word THUG, I'm not even gonna say it.
Okay.
I actually get like emotional when I think about that word.
Yeah.
I hate that fucking word so much. I can't believe how emotional I just got when I spelled it out. You're gonna hear it a lot in this episode. Yeah. I don't believe in that word, and I hate that word, and I want to be on record. And it's a little like stab in my chest every time I hear it.
Oh my God. Well, good, because it's like shitty. It's a very shitty thing to say.
Henceforth call it the T word. I don't fucking like that word.
Great. Then bleep me out just saying it. I don't want to be an asshole.
Okay.
The press being horrible, like super racist, calling them and all the players being like, fuck this shit. Why? I just said it. But I was quoting them. It is a melee. It's like fans.
That's
like,
a great word.
It is. Speaking of good words,
yes,
melee. But these like entitled as fuck fans, which I'm going to get on my soapbox about later on. Like,
and
pouring,
we need
like,
some of these people.
Like popcorn and beer on players' heads. It's just like insane.
Because it begins at the end. It like begins with the like players being dragged off the court during this fight.
Yeah, and just this chaos and like people being taken away in stretchers. And I'm like, this is a sports ball. It's not the fucking Tonys. Calm down.
Well, speaking of which, I was like, my first note is, oh my God, they're dragging these sports ball players backstage.
I have backstage written everywhere. I think it's a locker room.
Who knows?
It's their dressing room. It's backstage.
It's right, totally.
Henceforth. So we're like, our main people here are Jermaine O'Neal.
Yes.
Steven Jackson and Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest.
Each one of them fucking hotter than the next.
And Reggie Miller's here, too.
Yeah.
The only adult in the room.
Throw him in
the
mix.
Only adult in the room is Reggie Miller.
Totally.
Let me say something about Ron Artest, Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
I was really...
about 20 minutes of Googling for me to understand.
I was really concerned that this was a dead name situation,
yes.
and I didn't want to be a dick about it. It's not really, because Artest has like tried to change his name to like Queensbridge after where he's from in New York, or like So Hood.
Yeah.
Now he is Meta Sandiford Artest. So he changes his name a lot, and I wanted to be sensitive about that. But Ron Artest was Ron Artest. They call him Ron.
Yeah.
They call him Ron Artest. They call him Artest.
Yeah.
Even the captions say Artest, like when he speaks.
Can we just call him Ron, because that's what they called him then?
Yeah. But okay. I just wanted everyone, like, I did my research. It's not a dead name situation. We would have been very sensitive to that.
Yes, of course. And explain what a dead name is.
A dead name is when someone changes their name, whether they're trans or they're just going through any kind of transformation, and you don't call them that because they're not that person anymore.
Exactly. It's like the Caitlyn Jenner and her dead name that begins with a B. And we don't say,
and we don't say that because she's Caitlyn now.
Right.
We don't like her, but we respect her name. See how all these things can be true at once? It's fun.
We got to do the Caitlyn on the Bates.
Oh,
we
God. It's going to be a lot of this. It's going to be a lot of me being like, oh, I don't like her. Like, I respect her stuff, but I just don't like her. I think she's a problem. I think she brings the whole thing backwards.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So the first person we meet is Jermaine O'Neal. And, you know, we get his backstory. He grew up in South Carolina. He said,
you know, they flew the Confederate flag on the State House until as recently as 3 or 4 years ago.
And he kind of looks like, do you see what I'm dealing with here?
Right.
And he says, you know, basketball was a safe haven for him. He was incredible at it. Here's how incredible he was.
Yeah, in high school.
He's a senior in high school. He's 17 years old. He says, he's like, I got my driver's license like a week ago.
Yeah.
He is drafted into the NBA.
Can we just talk about this for 1 second? Because they show a picture of him at his high school graduation. You guys, they're standing for the high school graduation. He's literally a foot and a half taller than everybody
at
else.
Least.
Like, it's unreal that a human being can be that tall.
But his face looks like a 17-year-old. But he looks like an NBA player. Like, he skipped college basketball.
Yeah.
Sports ball aside, but jokes, blah, blah, blah. That is insane to be a professional basketball player when you're 17 years old and you learned how to drive last Tuesday.
This is going to be one of those episodes where the husbands who usually turn us off are like, no!
No.
Tell that queen that this is how it happened.
Banging their head against the wall. Why do you listen to this trash? They're asking their partners.
But one of the things he says, and we hear this a lot from these players, Jermaine says,
I'm the piece that can change the bloodline of my family. I'm the piece that can break the chains of things that have been going on over and over and over and over again. I'm that piece.
He's saying, and we hear this from the other players too, his gift, his talent is the thing that's going to like take his family out of poverty and break that cycle.
Lots of pressure for a 17-year-old kid.
You know what though? Like, it's also a beautiful thing. Like,
yeah.
The fact that, like, to hear him say that was just kind of, it's so crazy too, because all of these men are put in all of these high pressure situations and most of them handle it pretty well.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, look, like, he was super excited to be a 17-year-old kid. He's drafted to the Portland Trail Blazers, and he's like, yeah, but they booed the shit out of me because they were like, you're 17? You're coming from, like, your high school gym to the NBA?
But he says it, he goes,
but also remember the boos.
Oh, boos like anti-cheering, not boos like
B-O-O-S.
Vodka.
B-O-O-S. Yes.
Right.
And he was the youngest.
And I looked at my watch and I was like, it's like noon. Is it too early? It's too early? I guess it's too early.
It most certainly is not.
Okay.
Always on time. But the thing is, he was the best his high school had ever seen.
Yeah.
And now he's in the NBA. And he was like,
I became the youngest player at the time to play an NBA game. Now I'm going from being the best player on the court in high school to being the fourth best person at my position on my own team.
I was the fourth best person in my position on my team. He was on the bench the whole time.
Can you? And there's at one point he talks about sitting on the bench and crying.
Well, I mean, I understand being frustrated. Like, then why am I here? Let me play then. But I know the sports ball people are like, I understand all sides of it. But it's like, I'm like 17.
Let me try.
Like, let me just do it.
Yeah.
You liked me for a second.
But he says, you know, something has to change. And this is when he gets traded to Indiana. And their team is called the Pacers.
They're called the Pacers. And now he gets to play with Reggie Miller.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We learn about this guy, Reggie Miller, and everyone's like, this guy is a fucking legend. And Jermaine says,
when I got the call that I got traded from Portland to Indiana, I was so excited because it was an opportunity to play with Reggie Miller. I know he's a true competitor. He's a legend. And I told him right away, I said, look, put me right next to his locker.
He wants to learn he wants to be a sponge next to Reggie.
I get that, and I appreciate that. I just thought, Jermaine, that's kind of like a prime piece of real estate.
I know.
How do you just get that because you asked for it?
And at the time, like, Reggie Miller was a legend, so I'm sure everyone wanted to be next to Reggie.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, also, we meet Reggie. He's gorgeous, but he's also so calm. The story that you guys are about to hear is so bananas.
Yeah.
And Reggie Miller tells the story in such a calm way. His energy and his aura is, like, infectious.
And he's an incredible basketball player, but you know who's even better than Reggie?
Who, Larry Bird.
His sister, Cheryl.
Oh, no, really?
Cheryl Miller is like a fucking legend. And Reggie is like, she's better than me.
Oh, my God,
oh,
really?
Oh, yeah. She's,
wait, did she play in the WNBA?
Yeah, yeah. And you see her at the end.
Oh, that's his sister at
that's
the end?
Sister, yeah.
Oh.
So we meet Donnie Walsh, who's the president of the Indiana Pacers. And he's like,
Reggie was the guy that really put the Indiana Pacers on a trajectory they had not been on before. He really wanted to win. And did more than anybody anywhere in attempting to get the championship.
He wanted to win a championship, and he should have. He was that good. He's been playing for 18 years. Like, not that he's owed it, but, like, he deserves it. He does.
Yeah, and that's important because Reggie has never had one. He came really close in his 14th year on the team. The Pacers were playing the Lakers, and they didn't win, and, you know, and everyone was like, fuck, like, this is Reggie's 14th year. Like, how many more chances does he have? People want to do it for the Pacers, and they want to do it for Indiana, but they want to do it for Reggie.
Like, most of all for Reggie.
Yeah.
And they realize, like, time's kind of running out. 14 years, what's going on? So the Pacers are like, okay, let's get some younger guys on the team.
Yes.
And Reggie's all for this. He's like, let's shake it up a little bit. Let's get some new people in here.
I want to say the thing that I cannot get over going through this documentary, nobody talks about how good they are.
I know.
Every single player we meet talks about how amazing all the other players are.
And they do it a lot.
Yeah, and it's not forced.
Like,
they are in awe. It is the true embodiment of why team sports are so important.
I agree.
You heard me say that. I believe that that's true. Don't cut the drama club just to make the team sports happen, drama club is also important.
So many things can be true at once. Right. That's the theme today.
But I mean, it is very much like they didn't care so much about the individual glory. It was good enough for them to be on the team surrounded by the other talented people. And that is fucking incredible. It's incredible to see.
I agree. And so the Pacers are like, let's get some younger players. So they pull they go to 100 and get Jermaine, the actual youngest person in the NBA. Reggie's like, okay, cool. Like,
you got any 14-year-olds or that one's as young as they go?
Reggie's like, shit, I do have a lot of pull around here. I say youngest, they get the 17-year-old kid. And the thing is, like, now Jermaine is 20.
Yes.
And he's still super young, right?
But he's just like, they fucking gutted that team. And then we see him in an interview being like,
100% certain that you guys won't be disappointed at all. I think you'd be very, very happy that the trade was made because I can bring a lot to the table.
I swear to God, I could do a good job. Right. I promise I'll be good.
Because he's never been a starter. And so now the Pacers are going to start him. And Jermaine's like, can you hold on for like 2 seconds? I'm no slouch. Like, right. I'm a hard fucking worker. Can you give me a second? I've been getting shit on by everyone for 3 years since I was 17. Just let me do it. Reggie says it's okay.
Jermaine says something that I think is going to stay with me for the rest of my life.
What?
He says,
you have to outwork people. Like, you just got to be a savage.
That is the words I live by. I wake up every single day a B-minus student. I just, like, work very, very, very fucking hard.
Yeah.
And, like, what I lack for talent, I try to make up for in work effort. Reggie had both.
Right. So. Yes. Yeah. So Reggie was a leader, and he sees a lot of himself in Jermaine. He's a hard worker. He's good on and off the court. And Reggie's like,
Jermaine was on the verge of becoming a superstar in our game, and he was becoming the face of the Indiana Pacers.
He's definitely showing signs that he can carry this franchise. And what I mean by that is not necessarily the numbers he does, but I think the leadership that he brings to a lot of the younger guys that are in here.
And the thing is, because Reggie's like a genius, it's starting to happen. Jermaine's like killing it.
Yeah, and Reggie goes, I don't care about the glory. I wanted to see these young guys do the bulk of the work, and I wanted my fucking championship.
Hell yeah. So, like, Reggie's thrilled. Right now, Reggie's thrilled. There's a range, but today, right this minute, Reggie's thrilled. He's like, I can taste that fucking championship. I want it. But they need more rebuilding. Jermaine's amazing, but he can't do it all by himself, right?
Yeah. And that's when Walsh, the owner, is like, look, my job is to try to, like, put players together who are going to be the magic, like, work really well together. It doesn't always happen in one season, but, like, that's what you're always aiming for. And I get that. Like, you try to assemble a team that's going to be the greatness.
Right. And they all have very specific roles.
Yeah.
So they want the best forward.
Or the fullback.
Or the best...
Tight end. Great. We nailed it. We did the basketball.
We know that's football. Get off our backs. So they get Ron Artest, a.k.a. Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
And he's on the news throwing all this shade because I guess he was just on the Chicago Bulls. And he's like,
it feels good to be here after a couple of years in Chicago losing. It just was hard. And just want to bring that winning effort.
So nice to be here after losing all that time in Chicago. Thrilled to be here in Indiana. And I'm like, oh, okay, Ron. And so Ron Artest became, when this happened, he was the villain in this whole story.
Yeah.
And now we get what was really happening from him. And he explains right off the bat a little bit about the state of his mental health at the time.
Which is kind of amazing. Like, he was in a very tough place. He suffered from anxiety and depression. I was saying, I'm like, are we supposed to not like this guy? Because I kind of like him.
I think the whole point of this is, like, here's what really happened.
Yeah.
And meet the guys that are from this edited footage of ESPN and see the whole thing and see the whole story.
Because
and so
Ron Artest is very in touch with his mental health. Like, he's very in touch and on top of it. Like, he's constantly working on it.
And every time I see him on screen, I'm like, that's someone who's doing the work in and out of therapy.
Yes.
He speaks like someone who is in therapy still and is, like, walking the walk and talking the talk of the therapy, right?
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got.
from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
So now, like, Ron Artest, again, incredibly hard worker, badass, like, amazing at what he does. And even Jermaine O'Neal was like, I thought I was the hardest worker. Yeah. Like, and then I see Ron Artest. So again,
and it's like cutting back. These guys hate each other now in real life, but they're cutting back and forth, and they're like, no, he was the better one. No, he was the better one. No, he was amazing. No, he was amazing.
Right. And once again, Reggie's thrilled because they're like, he's like another piece of the puzzle. The championship's getting closer. Totally. I can feel it. And Reggie's like,
every team needs Ron Artest. We need a guy that everyone's a little bit afraid of.
Everyone needs a guy that everyone's like a little bit afraid of.
Yeah.
Every team needs that.
Have I said that Ron's really sexy?
Yeah. You know, I like a guy who's in touch with what's going on in their mental health and is okay to talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's normalize that. That's sexy as fuck.
It is sexy as fuck, but then it immediately cuts to like all of these images of Ron and all the fights he gets into on the courts. He's just like throwing his weight around a lot.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, look, I always had a chip on my shoulder, okay? I saw everyone as an enemy. He's just had like a lot going on. Like Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal, based on what their positions were on the court, they were like the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
And Reggie goes,
it was like poetry in motion at times when they were on the court.
It was like poetry in motion. Court. Reggie's reliving it. There are flowers everywhere.
And they say, like, Jermaine's like, we were blazing through teams. Like, they're getting to that fucking championship game. They're just like, they're knocking them down every time they play.
Right. So now they have the best record in the league.
Yeah.
And they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Which turns out not a conference.
It's not a conference
at
all.
It's not a conference, you guys.
No, it's not at all.
No.
When I say Eastern Conference Finals, you can hear it in my voice that I don't know what that is, right? I know it's like a step before the championship. I think you win the Eastern Conference, and then whoever wins the other conference, then they go to the finals.
I wonder why they don't just call it a game. It's not a conference.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know that we're being featured in the sports section of Apple Podcasts right now?
Because of our Tanya and Nancy episode. So it's like, we'll put you there, but we're going to do the gayest way we possibly could.
I'm sending this to Apple as soon as it comes out.
No, like,
more for the sports section.
Because the other episode is about this documentary. There's room for all of us, Apple.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Why don't you want to hear our take on it?
Exactly.
So it's 2004. They're at these Eastern Conference Finals, which is not a conference at all. It's just a basketball game.
Yeah.
And so Jermaine's like, this is what ignited everything.
Yes.
So it's the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons.
Right. And they're like, the Pistons are like another amazing team. And they say whoever wins this game is going to win the championship.
Because that's how good the team was, right? They just knew like they're just going to beat
the next
team.
The two best teams. Exactly.
So Ron Artest commits a foul at the worst possible time in the game.
And it's weird because I had to watch it five times to even see it. Because I feel like basketball is one of those games. I feel like the soccer players do this.
Yes.
Where like you bump into somebody by accident and then you throw yourself on the ground and roll around like you're in a ton of pain.
I have in my notes. Also, the player on the Pistons flew himself into the air and onto the court, but whatever.
Right.
And it's like, if the foul is the foul, and they all do this.
Yeah.
Even Reggie's done it.
Yeah.
Watch Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks.
My Reggie?
He does it all. He's like, what? Who, me? He's all about the theater. It's so great. So they do it. They do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
But it's very like, just let the foul be the foul. You don't have to throw yourself onto the court. Give me a break.
But the guy's face down, not breathing.
And he's like, oh, no. It's like,
I'd be great at basketball.
You'd be.
Oh, my God.
Like, so great and also just the worst. Like,
why is this game 9 hours?
Ron Artest would be like, I'm gonna elbow. I don't want to. He's on my team, but I feel my elbow going for the foul. Oh no! I fell over.
Patrick, are you doing that in slow motion?
What? It's just ow. No. So regardless, this foul leads to the Pistons winning the game. Right? They win the conference finals and they go to the actual NBA finals.
And they win. And they win the final. Like, Detroit is champion.
And it's also like a horrible way to lose. It's like game six. It's a stupid foul. It could have been avoided. It just sucks.
Ron, like, taking the drama to the next level. I feel like Ron and I would have gotten along. He tries to retire. He's like, fuck, that foul was my fault. I can't go back out there. You know what? I'm retiring.
So here's the thing. Like, now, a lot of this stuff is like, oh, that's what was happening. So Ron Artest, like, today is like,
I have so much anxiety all the time. You know, you get that heart pumping. And it was like something I couldn't control at that time. It was every day. Every day. So I was like, I really do need to try to figure out what's wrong. You know, why are you not happy around basketball and your teammates? You know, why are you not happy? Figure it out.
I was really going through it. I needed to take a step back. But what he does is, he's like, I know I have 6 years left on the contract I just signed.
Yeah.
I'm retiring. Get, like, undo my contract. And they're like,
undo that.
And also, it's like,
just for anybody who needs to hear it, that's not how contracts work.
So he decides to do this like a month into the next season. He doesn't he waits until the season starts. And Reggie's like, we have 6.5 months to go of the season. Like, you can't just ditch practice.
Right.
And so Ron Artest,
like, he's literally like, I gotta go do my band though.
I gotta work on my music. I'm a grown man. I can do what I want. And what we learn now is that he was like struggling with anxiety, but it's a bad look.
It's a bad look. And it's like, he's so in touch with it now. Why didn't you just, and I mean, I know the answer to this question is because he couldn't.
Right.
But like, if you just told people what you were struggling with, because this is when we get the round robin of all the players being like,
you know, we knew he had a psychiatrist that traveled, you know, everywhere we went. We knew he had sessions that he had to go with and have with her. We knew that much. But we were never, ever, you know, told that he had a certain issue, medical issue.
His therapist came with him on the road. That's amazing.
It's fucking incredible. And everyone really respects it, you know? But then he does shitty things. Like, he tells the entire team that he's got a death in the family, so he can't play. And then he goes and presents at the Source Awards.
And he's like,
and
I don't even
be the cable aces.
It's like,
weren't going to get caught?
I'm sure there was an explanation that 4 days earlier, there was a death in the family, And then but you got to tell somebody.
Yeah.
And then, though, we see this clip of him, and it's so easy to see that he was struggling. So it's Ron Artest, and it's just his all those cameras and the mics and everything in his face, and his eyes are darting around, and he's looking for a way out, and it's like, this is someone in the throes of an anxiety attack. You can see it in the press.
But it's also cutting back to his teammates. Like, Jermaine is, like, playing, doing the work, and he'll do, like, a little press conference after a game, and all anybody wants to ask about is Ron. And he's finally like,
then I'm not going to ask any more questions about Ron. Ron doesn't want to be here. Ron doesn't matter anymore. It's about the Pacers. It's about the players that suit up every single day. I'm tired of answering questions about Ron.
Fuck Ron. Ron doesn't want to fucking be here. I'm not answering any more questions about that guy. That guy's presenting with Paula Abdul at the Source Awards.
It was Petey Pablo, actually, but...
And then he, like, doesn't know what he's doing. Like, come on.
He's Ron saying, I had depression. I had anxiety. He goes, look...
Some people have control over that emotion. I don't. And I'm really excited, happy I just dunked on somebody, game winner. That emotional level is not a good place for me. Positively or negatively, you have no control of that.
I had no control over my emotions, good or bad. And that's a really unhealthy place to be. And then cut to Reggie, who's like the only adult in the room. He's like, they were this amazing double act, Ron and Jermaine, and they weren't getting along. And like, it was all unsettling. And just like, I just want my fucking championship. I'm Reggie goddamn Miller.
He's saying, like, Reggie's like, I could not get the two of them to understand the opportunity they were throwing
away.
They're
just not getting it. Yeah. They're just not getting it.
And then it cuts to Ron. He's like, I never fucking listened to that guy anyway. I never listened to Reggie. If he tried to give me mentorship or leadership, I just think bust his ass in practice. Run!
So speaking of that championship, the coach is building this championship team, and there's one missing piece.
Yeah.
And that missing piece is Steven Jackson. And Reggie is thrilled again, and I love Steven
Jackson.
Thrilled.
Steven Jackson is super hot, and he's like just like another talented young guy.
And he loves a challenge. He makes love to the challenge.
I'm ready for a challenge. I'm ready for it. That's what I live for. I make love to pressure.
Normalize not saying things like that.
Yeah. Steven Jackson rules, though.
I know.
Unless
so
he doesn't. I don't know. But in this, he's great. I love him in this. And so Reggie is like perfect. He's a hard worker. He's like talented beyond belief. He's got an edge. Yeah. Everything Reggie wants.
And Steven is like, look, I met Ron, I knew the guy was a little off, but I don't fucking judge anybody. I smoke pot all day.
Like, who cares? He's like, he's one hell of a basketball player. That's really all I cared about. Yeah. Like, I didn't give a shit.
One important thing he tells us, he's like,
I'm a loyal guy. Like, one thing about it, if I'm with you, I'm with you. We shoot this and we go to a bar afterwards, somebody say something, I'm gonna be the first one to stand up. That's just how I am. If I'm with you, I'm with you.
Just put a pin in that because it's coming back.
And the example he gives, he says to the film crew, he's like, look, today, like, let's just say, for example, after we wrap this and we go out to the bar and someone tries to start shit, I'm going to be the first guy having your back. I was like, he's saying this to the film crew.
I know.
Which is amazing. He's like, we're going to go through this journey together. Yeah, we're getting drinks after.
Totally.
May God help the person who tries to fuck with you. As if anyone's going to fuck with them when 6'9 Steven Jackson is sitting next to you.
Oh my God. And then Reggie says, like, going into that season, there are only a handful of teams that could say we've got a shot at the championship. This was us. That was our fucking year.
Reggie's thrilled.
Netflix, I love you for making us do this. I'm so happy.
It's so good.
I've never been happier to talk about sports except for that time that we covered Nancy and Tanya.
Right. Which, again, Apple. Hi. Welcome. So now it's November 19th, 2004. Once again, it's the Detroit Pistons versus the Indiana Pacers.
And remember, they're saying that, like, the rivalry started last fucking year when, like, that foul happened and then, like, Detroit went on to win the championship. Like, this is a supercharged game and they're playing it in Detroit. So, like, the Indiana is going in there the underdog.
They're playing it at the Palace.
They're playing it at the Palace!
And Reggie's like...
And it's not like... not.
It's just like...
Not the Palace Theater on Broadway.
No. Quite a difference.
It's a very different environment, you guys.
And Reggie's like, don't get it twisted. We were there to make a statement. Like, yeah. We were there not just to play, but like totally demolish them.
Then we meet Timothy Smith. He's the director of operations for the Palace. Oh, and he is very serious.
But he also like makes some moves, Tim, because he's yeah. like.
Anytime you put 20,000 people together for 4 or 5 hours and they're drinking, the stage is set somewhere. Somebody's going to have an issue.
There's going to be a problem somewhere. Yeah. Sometimes they're big problems. Sometimes they're small problems. But it's like, Timmy.
Yeah. You're in charge of all of this.
And you knew this is like years plus in the making. The Pistons, the Pacers, they're back. Can you be a little aware? And here's what also gets me, if I may, Timmy, now that I'm on my soapbox. The night of the game, he tells us about this fan who I swear to God, I...
Are you talking about Charlie H?
Flames on the side of my face. Because he was like, you know, we'd had enough of Charlie and his shenanigans.
Yeah.
Charlie's a season ticket holder. And Timmy is like, we're going to take his season tickets away from him at that game.
Yeah.
But yet he lets Charlie... enjoy the game even though he's pulling all this bullshit shenanigans.
Yeah.
I don't understand this.
I don't understand it either, but now we fucking meet Charlie.
Boo.
Charlie's
how does that feel, Charlie? Boo!
This fucking piece of shit guy. He says
it was a Friday night. You know, we didn't have to work Saturday, so it was kind of like, you know, you kind of like enjoyed it more. You have a few drinks, you get to, you know, hang out with, you know, friends. Kind of like treating myself.
I was treating myself.
Charlie, just say you want to get sloshed at the game. Just say it. Like, it's all over now. Just say you know wanted to go get hammered.
We're going to get to this eventually, but you know how we know it wasn't Charlie who threw the beer? He would never throw out a beer. He's got to drink every fucking ounce of it.
Wait till we get to that piece of shit with the beer. Do you hear the low? Yeah. I'm not even yelling. That's how much I hate this guy.
And Reggie, we find out that Reggie broke his finger, so he's like not playing that night. He's in a suit.
Yeah.
And so Steven is starting, and Steven wasn't on the team the year before when they lost.
Steven Jackson. Yeah.
Wasn't on the team the year before when they lost to Detroit, so he doesn't even necessarily really know what he's walking into here.
Right. And so I have Reggie Miller, legend and the only adult in the room, is in a suit on the bench, right? So just to recap, the Pacers, that's Reggie and friends, they're here to make a statement. The Pistons are there to defend a title, and they hate each other.
And we had 10 minutes
What could go wrong?
And we had 10 minutes of how, like, charged up the room is. Like, you could feel the electricity when you walked in there. Mm-hmm. But they introduced this guy, Ben Wallace, and he's a player on the Pistons who becomes a major player here. And I guess he's, like, a fan favorite. Everyone's getting really hyped. And the one thing they tell us is that the Pacers guys, though they're, like, friends with Ben Wallace and the other guys in real life, they didn't know that his brother had just died.
Yeah, and so...
And that's, like, a big thing. Here.
Yeah. And he's like going through it and he's super intimidating. He's 6'9".
Is he? Oh my God.
Yeah.
And he's here with us now. Seems like a nice guy.
He's the only Piston here.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's here to tell his side of it.
Yeah.
So the point is, like, everyone's bringing all of their personal shit to the game.
Exactly. Right. Like, and that's the bottom line. Yeah. That's the thing to know here.
So it is sometimes a little bit about the rivalry. They hate each other. They're there to make a statement, defend it. But there's like personal shit that everyone's also bringing to the court.
So the game starts and it's just going great for the Pacers. The Pacers are fucking dominating. Listen to me. It's like I'm fucking announcing a game.
I was like, where? I have to ground myself. The Pacers are dominating? Are we gonna end the podcast so we could be announcers, sports ball announcers? We're gonna be like Reggie Miller looking amazing in those shorts. Scores
tight
again.
End, am I right?
Scores again. They'll be like, that's football. Doesn't matter. Are you gonna have fun or are you gonna be a big drip? Can't we just have fun?
Totally. No. But they're doing amazing. They're up by double digits. Reggie says,
because we were beating them down, the normal ticket holders were gone. They had left. So it was the people that were trickling their way down that were probably already liquored up, coming on down to fill those seats.
And all these, like, drunken maniacs have, like, filtered down.
The season ticket holders, the diehards.
Yeah. They've all filtered down, like, into the seats right near the stage. What do you call it?
The court.
The court.
The court. It's fine. But who stays? Charlie, the problematic Charlie, totally. Who's hammered. For whatever reason, he's still there, hammered.
Yeah, of course. Because the bar's still open. Charlie, I see you, girl.
Right. Charlie, please. Charlie's hammered in the parking lot before the game. Like, please.
So, like, all the hooligans from the upper level are coming down to the orchestra seats.
The ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, they're coming down to the house seats.
The house seats. Those are really expensive. Too expensive. But I see your point.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So Charlie, the Detroit fan, goes on this rant.
Oh, man, very disrespectful. Like, the way they did it. The game was almost over. They had starters out there that was playing. They're up by 15, 20 points.
He's like, it was real disrespectful. What he's trying to explain is, when you know you're going to win, like, you should kind of pull back and not be so aggressive and not, like, showboat, right?
Yeah. Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
Win by 1,000 is my motto.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Charlie's also full of shit because there's 2 minutes. I know this because I paused on the screen, okay? There's 2 minutes and 14 seconds left in the game. The Pacers are only up by 11 points.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in almost 2.5 minutes. So, like, there's plenty of time for shit to go down.
Is this the one that has the 3-point shots?
Like, yes. You can
do, I mean, they're probably not going to get, like, 4 of those.
But look, like, crazy shit has happened. Like, YouTube it. It's just, like, amazing. Like, you can score 11 points in 2 minutes in basketball. Uh-huh. No question,
okay,
right?
Great. So, you're really fired up about that.
Because it's just Charlie, like, say you wanted to go and get hammered.
Yeah.
And don't, like, this kid has a fucking death wish. We'll get to it in a minute, right?
God. We see it. It's unbelievable.
Because Charlie's like, they were up 15, 20 points. Not true, Charlie. I fucking paused it. It was 11 points with 2.5 minutes left. Fuck yourself. And also, everyone from the Pacers to the Pistons was saying how important and personal this game is. You fucking play to the end. You think Reggie's going to let you pull some shit and pull back?
No.
Absolutely fucking not.
No.
You play until the end. Charlie. It makes me crazy.
You guys, she had to turn away and put her head between her eyes.
I couldn't even look at my notes anymore because his name is on it.
You guys, I want Win by 1,000 merch. I want it.
Shut up, Charlie.
Shut up, Charlie.
But now though, here's what happens. Now it's 57 seconds left and the Pacers are up by 15 points. So now it's like the game's over, right?
Yeah.
There's no way anyone can get 15 points in 57 seconds. And so Steven Jackson is guarding Ben Wallace, the 6'9 guy who just lost his brother and he's going through it.
Yeah.
And Steven Jackson is like, have you seen Ben Wallace? Are you going to talk to him? He's 6'9. Like, I'm not even going to do my job on the court. I'm going to play, but like, I'm not going to try to block him. Like, I'm not going to start any shit.
Yeah.
And like, Steven Jackson had the right idea here.
Yeah.
We can play hard. Reggie will be happy.
Yeah.
You don't have to pull back, but you also don't have to go out of your way to start some shit. Don't do that.
So Ron fouls this Ben Wallace guy.
And Ron says he was like,
he's going for a layup. And I didn't want to get the layup. So I pushed him.
He was going to do a layup, and I didn't want him to make it, so I fouled him. Ron.
I know. So then, I mean, and this is jarring to watch, because Ben Wallace turns around and, like, shoves Ron so hard. These guys are huge.
And they're so strong.
And, I mean, and Ron goes fucking flying.
Like, 10 feet back.
I mean, it's I rewound it to watch it again.
Right. And Ben says, he was like, look, even today, he's like, it was too hard of a foul at that point. If he's going to foul me, fine.
Yeah.
But it was way too aggressive for under a minute left in the thing.
Exactly.
Enough.
And then Reggie is saying to us, like, you know what? A dust up on the court is fine. Nobody cares. Like, all of that shit is fake anyway. But then Ron does this insane thing, and this is a thing I don't even know what it is. Ron, in response, doesn't go back and, like, punch Ben Wallace. He goes and lies down on the scores table. What
right.
is that? What's a scores table?
It's where they keep score of the game.
Oh. Because I see that up on that big board with the numbers and the lights.
Yeah, but I think they're keeping track of, like, who, where on the court, if it's a three-point or whatever.
I see. Ron is saying,
at that point, I was ready in therapy. So I was practicing in real time. One thing was take five, right? So if something happens, you're like, one, two, three. Before you do anything, just count, because then you get more time to think.
I was really upset, and I've learned in therapy, go lie down and count to five. He's full of shit. That's not what he was doing.
And he looks like he's showboating. He looks like he has his hands behind his head, and he's like,
and he is.
Because while Ron Artest is laying down on this table, Ben Wallace is like throwing people, like he's trying to get to Ron Artest, and his team is protecting him, and the refs are trying to do whatever.
Yeah.
And so when you see Ron Artest just like kind of kick back on the scorer's table, even Ben Wallace is like, that was worse than the foul.
Exactly.
Like that behavior, like that made me incensed.
The other point that Jermaine makes here that's so important is that
the fans don't know the majority of us are actually friends. So they think that this is a real street brawl scenario. So however you react, they're gonna react. If you do this, what do you think they're gonna do?
The fans are looking to their players, and whatever the players do, the fans are going to do.
He explains it perfectly.
It's perfectly explained.
They're going to follow the lead of their team. And remember, they're in Detroit. The Pacers are outnumbered by thousands right
exactly,
now.
Exactly, exactly. And then and then it happens, ladies and gentlemen.
This is why Reggie is such an amazing storyteller, and Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
So here's, I even took screenshots.
Oh
so
my
that
God,
I can
really?
Do, yeah, because I love this moment so much. And because then it's like fucking chaos down here, Tom, right? And Reggie.
I have that like 10 times.
Like
in the
a thousand
sentence.
Times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Reggie goes,
and out of the corner of my eye, I see it coming.
Then Steven Jackson goes,
super slow-mo. Like it just, everybody was supposed to see it. That's how slow it went.
Everyone was meant to see it. Like
yes,
the universe was
yes,
like, this
yes.
is going to be a moment. Like that's how slow it went. It's a beer being thrown from the stands and it's like perfectly choreographed, hits Ron Artest in the center of his chest while he's laying down trying to, quote, ground himself, right?
And Ron doesn't even hesitate.
Therapy goes out the window. He's like a fucking freight train. He like levitates.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
jumps over five people. He's got
it's
the longest legs.
Unbelievable.
He's now in the stands fighting with the fans.
And I mean, he's like trying to find the guy that threw the beer. Steven Jackson's like, I went where he went.
The most loyal guy you'd ever meet. He's, again, just leaping over.
And then there's another beer thrown in Ron Artest's face.
It looks like a bucket.
Yeah.
Like how much liquid came out of that thing? My God. I was like, how much was that beer? It was like 40 bucks.
I would take a bucket of beer right now. And Steven says, that's the guy I punched. And we see him punch this guy. And every time a person gets punched that we see, it looks like they die.
Right.
It looks like a fucking video game and they're killing zombies.
And now, like, fans and players and everyone's just beating the hell out of each other. And I'm like, no one thought to just leave.
I know.
Like, not a single person was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to call it a night.
Charlie would have left, but he got more beer. He had more beer to drink.
Okay, you know what?
I know.
But also, this is happening live. Like, Matt, our editor, was watching this live. And we hear the announcers saying, oh boy, what a sad scene here at the palace. Excuse me.
I know.
This is a disgrace. Oh, what a sad scene here at the palace. And now another fight's breaking out in front of the Pistons bench.
It is utter chaos down here, Tom.
And Jermaine O'Neal realizes, it dawns on him.
I just stopped and paused and I just started looking. Where is the security at?
There's no security anywhere.
Yeah. Can you imagine
anywhere?
That? And he's like, these are 20,000 of their fans and their players, and there's 15 of us.
And the fans are drunk, angry, and entitled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And so
oh,
now.
Oh, that's the name of my memoir. My forthcoming memoir.
Introduction by Jillian Bensimore. As always. Maybe more than ever.
Oh,
in that
my
one.
God. Drunk, angry, and entitled.
Oh, that's a good one. That might be the best one we've ever come up with. That is excellent.
That's also got to be merch.
Yeah.
Why are we keeping notes? We got to keep notes of the merch.
God, we're good at this. This is fun. Let's do this forever. So back with Charlie, the fan who just, I can't even get the words out.
Yeah.
He's here with us today.
Yes.
The man has a death
himself.
Wish. He has a death wish. He goes.
Yeah. Everybody was like everywhere. I mean, it was just like a melee, and then they're pushing us towards the exit. Somehow, I got in the court.
I don't know. Like, somehow I just ended up on the court. Like, it just happened to him. No, Charlie forgets that this is all recorded, because I think he expects to see what the public has seen for all these years.
Yes.
He must not realize that there's raw footage of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we see, Ron Artest has walked away from the fight.
Yes.
He really is.
He's trying to go backstage.
He's, like, pacing, trying to go backstage to his dressing room, right?
Yes.
He looks lost, truly. Like, it's a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie, this fan, walks right up to Ron Artest with a... Remember in the Bigfoot where we learned about bluff charging?
Yes.
And Ron Artest today
Wait,
is like...
bluff charging, the Patrick Hines story. It's
there
a,
you go.
It's the sequel.
This,
it's
I was going to say, the sequel. The companion piece.
Totally.
So Ron Artest today is like...
I remember being shocked, like I seen an alien, like, this guy coming to the court to fight. Because at that point, I'm like, I'm fed up.
I mean, Ron Artest is 6'10", and this pipsqueak is like 5'5".
And before we see it, we get Ron Artest saying, like, is this kid fucking serious? And an announcer saying, like, no one in their right mind would think it would be a good idea to seek out Ron Artest in this moment and try to fight him. But Charlie, who just found himself on the court, like, he didn't stumble down there.
Clenched fist, by the way. When you see it, the fucking guys, he's about to pop Ron Artest.
He, like, does this bluff charge with the clenched fist and then gets, like, startled.
Yeah.
And Ron fucking punches him in the face.
I know.
Now there's another fight on the court. Ron Artest is not even in this fight.
No.
Ron's pulled away. Jermaine O'Neal is seeing this all happen from the other side of the court.
Yeah.
He runs to try to punch this guy in the face. He slides because there's beer all over the court.
Yeah, and Reggie says,
he slipped. Thank God. It was the best miss of Jermaine's career. Because if Jermaine would have connected on that punch, that fan would have been dead.
If he had connected, he would have killed
that guy. He would have killed that guy.
Yeah.
And Charlie, who has a fucking death wish, calls Jermaine. He goes, that was a bitch move, to tell you the truth. Charlie, keep your fucking mouth shut. What is wrong with you?
I know.
We have footage of you bluff charging Ron Artest.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? Shut your mouth.
My only thing about Jermaine, who I love him so much, he's going to go on to say that everything he did was, like, defensive. That wasn't defensive. He, like, ran at that guy and tried to punch him.
Yeah. He also says, like, there was never one second where I thought I shouldn't be punished for this.
Yeah, agree.
Right?
Yeah, he's very, very accountable.
And so, like, Ron Artest is in the middle of the court. He's not even fighting.
Yeah.
But then everyone shut up and pull over. I can't even believe you're behind the wheel right now. We hear what I'm going to call, hands down, the best 911 call we have heard to date by a long shot.
Wait, describe it, because I don't remember it.
Oh, my God. So we get here, again, screenshot, so I can read it.
Oh, my God.
They pick up, hello, 911. The caller says, somebody needs to come down to the palace and hurry up. And the dispatcher goes, okay. And the caller goes, they're fighting, ma'am. And 911 goes, the fight between the players. And the caller just goes, hurry up. And 911 is like, all right, we have people on the way. And the caller once again goes, please hurry up.
Hello, 911. Somebody needs to come to the palace and hurry up.
Okay, we do have that out there.
Hurry, ma'am.
The fight between the players.
Hurry up.
Okay.
When she goes, hurry up, like, I'm going to say it slow and loud so you can understand me. I made Mike watch that 15 times. Hurry up.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So this is where we see them again going through that gauntlet trying to get backstage, where everyone lines up with their water, their Gatorade, their beer, their popcorn to dump it on these people.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
First of all, like, who the fuck are you? Acts like this?
I know.
The entitlement of it all. It's a fucking basketball game.
Yeah.
But also, like, the anger. If you really look at the people, the anger and the rage they have.
And they're all hammered, too. You know what I mean?
And it's like someone could have been killed.
Yes.
And
they're covering one of the guys getting Ron out of there is covering his head with his hand because he's afraid someone's going to throw a fucking rock or something at him.
They're trying to get the chairs loose.
Yeah. I was gasping. Steve was like, what is going on over there? I'm like, you just have to watch this. This is insane.
And it is also, like, incredibly upsetting to see all of these black men get, like, drinks poured on them.
Yes.
It was a mob. And it was very upsetting to see this happening to all of these black men who are literally like, so it's just the team versus, like,
Everyone here. They held him off.
They did.
So we're in the locker room, and Ron is now, like, scared of seeing Jermaine, because even though Jermaine came to Ron's defense, Ron is like,
and the whole time, like, oh, Jermaine's gonna kick my butt right now. Like, the whole time,
I'm like, I didn't want to see him. I knew he was going to be pissed because it's all about winning for Jermaine.
And they get in there, like they like charge at each other.
I can't even imagine what it must do to like your level of energy and your psyche.
And Jermaine, like I legitimately live in fear of getting yelled at, getting in trouble. Like I really feel that like stress when I'm in a situation like that. I feel like Jermaine is kind of like that too, because he's like,
then the police comes in and trying to grab me to take me to jail. And I'm still, again, I'm on survival mode. I'm like, look, I'm not going with you. I am getting on this bus and getting on that plane. I'm going home. Reach out to my lawyers.
Girl, I am not coming with you. I'm getting on that bus and getting on that plane, and you can reach out to my attorneys.
Good day.
I said good day.
And good for Jermaine for being like, I'm not fucking coming with you.
No.
Are you serious?
Jermaine would have been killed if he had gone.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So now it's all over the news. It's disgraceful. And the thing is,
are you not going to say the best word I've ever heard in a documentary?
Hooliganism?
Yeah.
Come on.
Podcast soulmate.
Hooliganism.
Disgraceful brawl at the Pacers-Pistons game in Detroit may be the ugliest act of pure hooliganism in U.S. sports history.
The racism of it all.
Oh,
and I mean, like, the racism, like, pervades all of this news coverage. It's so fucking awful. Everyone is saying, like,
the players paid gazillions of dollars here. These are guys who have never had to follow the rules.
If she's trying to say, like, celebrities live by a different standard, whatever. But, like, to say that professional athletes don't follow the rules, sports is all about rules.
Exactly.
Like, she just sounds like an idiot and she's being racist. Also, I have a quote.
from
Howard Kurtz from CNN, who's also on Fox News, of course.
Oh, great.
Because listen to this.
Great, Howard. I bet Charlie's your number one fan.
Seriously. He goes,
the tattoos, the fights, the drug bust. Are the media helping the NBA market this as a kind of an in-your-face hip-hop sport?
Are the media helping the NBA market this as some kind of an in-your-face hip-hop sport?
I know.
Fuck off, Howard
they
Kurtz.
They say the T word 800 times during all of this.
And like a hip-hop sport?
Oh, I
Get
know.
A grip.
No.
Keith Olbermann calling them gangsta wannabes is
I
so
know.
Cringe. I can't even
I
handle
know.
It.
And then Jermaine says,
these are thugs. Literally, that's the word that he used. And everybody else signing off, yeah, you know, it's rap music and this. Well, they're not saying that when hockey is beating the hell out of each other for decades.
Like, fights in hockey is part of the game.
Right, and, like, there's just something about, like, white men beating up each other is just kind of civilized, you know? Whereas, like, these black men beating up each other, they're barbarians and, like, it's just so wild, you know?
Yeah, or it's like, all right, on the ice, it's like, okay, fellas, that was good, you know, get the gloves back on. But here, they just let them happen, like,
and
they just
also
let it happen.
I mean, I don't know how I know this from hockey, but I do know this, that, like, in hockey, they live for the fighting. All they want to do is get back out there and beat the living shit out of each other.
There are players that they call like enforcers, where like part of the thing, like they're good players, but also like you don't want to mess with them because they're the fighters.
And they'll hold grudges for seasons at a time. These basketball players are like, we don't actually want to fight. Like
no.
It's just a show. None of us actually want to fucking do that.
Right.
It's just not like that. Here's the whole thing. The NBA is very concerned about how this is going to affect business. So what they want to do is put all of it on the players, hold all the players accountable, and not hold any of the fans accountable. Like they want to say this was all started by the Pacers. All these three players are the ones that are responsible for this.
And it's mostly the Indiana players. Like, Ben Wallace and a couple of the Pistons also get suspensions. But, like, Ron Artest is suspended for the rest of the season. This happened in November. Basketball's from October to April.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole rest of the season. Steven Jackson, 30 games. Jermaine O'Neal, 25 games. And the punishments are unprecedented. And that's the point. They want to make an example out of these guys.
This is where they tell us the basketball commissioner guy never saw the unedited footage.
I never had a conversation with David Stern about it. The narrative was based off a edited conclusion on ESPN.
Wouldn't you want, as like the president of the thing, let me see it all.
Of course.
And ask a question.
All they care about is protecting the organization.
Right.
And this is where we meet the DA, because the DA is like, fuck this. I'm holding everybody accountable.
DA Dave.
Yeah, DA
come on,
Dave.
Come on down, DA Dave. Join
come
the party.
On down.
Hey.
He is kind of awesome, because he's like, I want to watch every fucking minute of the video. He's like,
there's a lot of work that went into this.
It's going to be a very long investigation, probably more complicated than even a murder, because you have so many witnesses.
There's over 1,000 pages of police reports. Unlike most crimes, we had so much footage from different angles.
It's a lot of work, you guys. guys, this might be more complicated than a murder. Okay? Please back off. I have a lot of footage to go through.
But eventually, they're able to isolate images of the people that they're looking for from the stands.
Yeah, and Dave's like, there were some fans who just loved it. And I'm like, you could say his name. His name's Charlie.
Right.
And he loves it.
But the big thing is they're looking for the guy that threw the beer.
Oh, God.
And the thing is, D.A. Davis, like, we got images of him. We couldn't, like, get a good shot of him. We couldn't figure out who it was. But the more I watched it, the more I thought maybe I knew that guy.
This guy's name is John Green. He used to date D.A. Dave's neighbor. Used to, because I can't imagine anyone spending 5 minutes with this guy. So John Green threw the cup that hit Ron Artest that, like, started this whole melee, right? As much as John Green loves this, that's how much I hate John Green. Does that make any sense? Because there's audio of John being questioned.
Yeah.
And he's like, am I in trouble here? Like, what's going on? The cops are like, no way, bro. No charges at all.
No charges, girl. But then he goes on and does, like, a local news.
Take your hat off, John. He's wearing a baseball cap. Take your hat off.
He does a fucking local news interview. We see the video of him throwing the beer. We see him throw the beer.
He is so smug.
I know.
It's disgusting.
And the fucking interviewer is like, what would your answer to the question, did you throw the beer be? And he's like,
At this point, you know, I'm no hablé.
You know, I'd have to say no hablé.
Which just means don't talk, you idiot.
Where's John Green today? What's the John Green update?
Well, he had a criminal record before this. Shocking.
Oh, and they actually take this guy to court. He gets charged with two, like, felony assault charges. He's crying.
Good.
Did you see him crying in court?
Good.
Fuck you, John Green.
Good. So, like, every other fan got, like, fines, costs, probation, but John Green actually got charged with assault and battery.
Yeah. And, like, you know, Jermaine, the basketball player, is just saying, like, after the criminal part of this whole thing, I went through the process of appealing my suspensions.
A federal judge who then so every camera angle said I had the right to do what I did.
If the basketball commissioner had taken the time to see what actually happened, these guys wouldn't have gotten in trouble.
Right. And the legal battles were nothing compared to what the NBA did to them.
Right. Exactly. And Reg is just saying, like, that one beer changed everything. It cost all of them a lot of money and a lot of time.
And it cost Reggie the championship.
He doesn't get his championship and he retires at the end of that season. Mm-hmm. But then Ron Artest asks to be traded. He was so ashamed he, like, couldn't face Jermaine anymore.
He was like, I can't wear that Indiana jersey because I was wearing that Indiana jersey during the worst moment of my life. So Ron thinks it's, like, better for everybody to be traded. But Steven and Jermaine are like, are you kidding me?
You started this. Like, you fucking started this and now you're abandoning
us. Like, we're still here. Like, let's go through this together.
Yeah.
And so then Ron Artest changes his name to Meta World Peace. And everyone's making fun of him. And it's really, I think it's super rude.
It's so rude. But the even ruder, Ron goes on to be on the Lakers and win a fucking championship.
I know.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, Ron started this fight. He abandoned his teammates. And, you know, when he wins the championship with the Lakers and he sits down for that interview, he says as much.
And the thing is, like, all he wants to do is talk about Jermaine and see. It's exactly what you were saying, just, like, talking and giving everyone else the credit.
You, my friend, are a champion. How does it feel?
I was supposed to get one with Jermaine and Donnie and Larry and Jamal Tinsley and Jeff Foster over there in Indiana. And I bailed out on them. I felt like a coward. You know, sometimes I don't even like, you know, being in their presence. I feel like a coward in their presence, you know, because I bailed out on them as a teammate. And then I get to get a championship.
Like, confetti's on the ground. He's on the court. He's still out of breath, right? I think this is amazing. And the guys are like, cool, Meta, can we talk about this game? You just won. Like, why do you want to talk about Jermaine? But it meant a lot to him to do that.
It seems to me like Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, whatever his name is just a guy who can't get out of his own way.
Yes.
You know?
And I mean, like, Meta World Peace, it's a Buddhist name. And he's like, I just want to have balance. I didn't want to be so emotionally attached to the game. And he, like, spoke to his therapist about it. And so he's like, I want to communicate. I want to be a better person. So the name isn't like a publicity stunt.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, they tell us that Jermaine was the one that really suffered. Like, he was the one that was on the verge of being one of the greatest players of all time. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't materialize. What happened to him after that?
They're all fine. Like, they all still have, yes, they lost millions by the suspension, but, like, Jermaine's earrings are amazing.
Yeah.
He has gigantic diamond earrings. He lives in a beautiful house.
Pretty nice.
Like, yes, he could have been the Reggie Miller. And that, like, I'm not going to take that away from him. Like, what that must be like.
Was it, like, did he stop playing or was his reputation just was damaged?
Yeah, it was just a stain on all of this. But they all, like, they played and they made millions of dollars. Could they have made more? Yeah. Should they have made more millions of dollars?
I know. And then it cuts to Steven. And this is, like, the moment from the beginning. I don't know what the interviewer asked him. Because, like, he clearly agreed to do this interview. interview.
And he was cool. He's going to defend the guys if someone tries to start shit at the bar.
But then all of a sudden, Steven is losing his shit.
And he's looking at a camera like behind him over his shoulder. And he's like,
it's the last fucking time you can ask me about this shit. I don't want to talk about that piece of shit motherfucker who threw that beer. Okay? I don't want to talk about losing all that money no more.
This is the last time I'm doing this. You have that? You hear that? I'm not doing this again.
He's like, I'm not talking about the motherfucker who threw the beer or losing all that money.
He's like, I'm done.
I know.
But then also, as one little piece of some cathartic moment, the palace gets demolished.
Because Jermaine is like, as long as the palace stands, part of me will always be trapped there. And then we see them literally demolishing the palace in, I think, 2017.
To which I say, bye.
Bye. Oh my goodness, fam. Thank you for listening to our repeat episode.
Our 2021 selves, God knows.
Oh my God.
So the part I was talking about is when that woman is calling 911, like as the melee is happening, and she's like, hurry up. Because they keep asking her questions, and she's like, you don't see what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I need you here like yesterday.
Hurry up.
She's in my, I love her so much. I think of her all the time. I hope she's doing well.
We love you, fam. Thanks for checking this out.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Get out of
here. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we'll go watch it again.
Oh, it's very, very good.
The 30 for 30s, the sports ones are always really good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it, if it's 30 for 30 or Untold, but either one.
Oh, it's Untold. It's
both
Untold.
Both of those series are very well done.
Yeah, very good. All right, we'll see you later, fam.
All right, we love you.
Bye.
Bye.
I realized today at the gym, people say, don't work harder, work smarter. That's not an option for me.
I disagree.
That option is not available to me, so I just have to work harder.
I just hear that song like, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. I was like, that's the vibe of them like just killing it.
It's not a conference.
It's not a conference.
Not a keynote speaker in sight.
No.
Not a badge.
Reggie could do it.
Sure.
I'd hear Reggie give a speech. But he's like, no. They're only winning games because I'm there screaming at the top of my lungs for 3 hours.
Yes.
And if I wasn't there, they'd have nothing to show for it.
Right.
And I'm like, buddy, get a life.
Get a fucking life, buddy.
They're playing this song, The Final Countdown. And that song just irks me. I can't explain it.
No, it makes sense. You don't have to. We speak the same language on that.
It gets right under my skin.
Uh-huh.
And I hate it. And I know. I can't. I don't know.
Why can't it be We Will Rock You?
And it's also like, yes.
You know what I mean?
Get Queen in there.
Totally.
For God's sake.
The final, right there.
The final countdown. It's just, it doesn't do what anyone thinks it should.
Yeah.
And I feel like liking it is like, I like the final. Like, what a look at my personality.
Well, I'm from Boston, where we have to do a Sweet Caroline every fucking season.
I fear that sounded like I was doing like a voice, like a derpy voice for Reggie.
No,
I was not.
That was
tears. It was a bad impression, Reggie. I love you. Please come into my DMs.
You know what? I'm waiting for the DMs and the tweets of Charlie. Hi, girl.
Hi.
Hi.
Fuck, shut up. Blocked.